Hey folks, I'm Karthik.
Hey, this is Srini.
Welcome to Tech and Leadership Stories, also known as TLS.
We'll have a series of conversations with leaders from the tech industry,
where you will hear exciting stories about their professional journey.
And along the way, learn from their journey and get inspired.
All right, let's jump in.
This is Chandramouli. I'm currently working with Citrix. I am a VP of IT and Shared Services, in charge of IT in India, as well as overall taking care of complete IT Shared Services for Citrix.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a couple of things. So Mouli here, I've known him for some time. He has abundant expertise in the areas of IT, enterprise development, support, more recently automation, right? Done a lot of stuff around automation, and of course a wizard in people management, right? Not only that, he's an accomplished philanthropist. I don't know, Mouli, if I can say that, but I've done a lot of work around blood donation and helping people in crisis and all of that, right? But one quick fun fact for the rest of the folks, right? Mouli recently did an amazing cycling journey, an endurance effort all the way to Coimbatore, which is close to around 350 kilometers, right? So those of you who are not into cycling, it's a massive, massive effort. So that's just shows the varied interest which Mouli brings in, right? So great to have you, Mouli. Thrilled to have. So hopefully this will be a fun chat.
Welcome, Mouli. I hear from Karthik that you're just not cycling, but running, and you're a man of many hobbies. So how do you make time
cycling
for those hobbies?
Yeah, just See, wanted to add a list. So I'll add that list, right? It's cycling, running. Apart from that, stamp collection, coin collection, jigsaws, right? And God knows what more. But yeah, so that's the crux of the question.
There are pens, and then the recent one that I've started doing is to kind of pick up the complimentary pens from every hotel that I stay.
Nice.
Good one.
So is there a favorite among that, right? That's what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
Is there a favorite among that, and how do you manage your time to kind of split and keep these hobbies going?
See, one thing that I have realized over a period of time is that again, time expands to fill what you want to do. And say, for example, when the days that I want to cycle, the days I want to run, I invariably am awake before the alarm goes. So what I feel is that if you are doing it for a reason and you are passionate about doing it, I think you will find your time in what you want to do. And I would say running is something that I picked up being with Karthik, but for him, I'm still a lousy runner as compared to most of the things, but the fun is being out there. The fun is doing it. And when you are like taking part in a common race and you are seeing like 3,000, 4,000 people all lined up at the start line, and when you are finishing your race, you are motivating people who you have never met in your life and you will never meet them again. And they are motivating you, and there is no way that they would ever see you other than your bib numbers. So that is a huge motivation factor. When you look at it, there is no vested interest. There is no hidden agenda in what they are doing, in standing there on the sideline and motivating you to finish it. Even every second that you take to go across the finish line, and they push you, they motivate you to do it. And that to me is something I would want to do even when I have vested interest, even when I have results that I need to get from individuals. Motivating without expectation, but at the same time motivating for that person's betterment.
And
it is so cool that these endurance sports contribute so much for making good leaders.
And it's one life. I mean, the approach that I feel many successful people are looking at is that, you have one chance and make the best out of it.
So Mouli, slightly switching gears, to our sustenance technology, right? So what we wanted to get some perspective from you is today, if you see, there is a lot of these so-called buzzwords, right? Like AI, ML, microservices, automation, yes. Right? So do you see from your, from the place where you are, do you see them actually starting to make an impact in enterprise IT, or do you see there's still further runway for it to be mainstream kind of a thing?
Automation definitely has made a huge impact. I mean, you know, from my experience, I would tell you that in 2-3 years of taking automation seriously, I would say that we've been able to reduce, or rather improve, the quality of work by at multiple of people who are doing repetitive activities. Enrich their work life through automation. That is definitely a thing that is going to stay with us. When it comes to ML and AI, I feel AI is still a bit
nascent.
It's not yet fully kind of like come into place. It's most of ML, most of AI that is spoken today is nothing but ML. I mean, ML over a period of time probably can become AI, but really doing cognitive stuff by a machine, I still feel that there is some distance to go before they start becoming a cognitive thing. I give a flowchart, it can follow the flowchart for sure. So yeah. ML is definitely there. ML is definitely there. And, you know, you look at from an enterprise IT perspective, even management is a great example of area where, you know, events are today, when you look at it, a GOC can be kind of like completely automated. And you could set your alerts, you could set your thresholds, and then, you know, the systems are there to help you arrive there. Correct. What it means is the unskilled, I mean, for lack of better word, I would say unskilled repetitive jobs. If I am a fitter and all I do, like the mechanic man in Charlie Chaplin, all I am doing is tightening that screw the whole day.
Right.
Okay. And I have not learned any augmenting skill beyond it.
Correct.
All I know to do is to tighten a screw. Yes, you are going to get irrelevant.
This example, Moli, reminds me of this. I don't know if you have seen this video, where they show the pit stop in a Formula One car, right?
Yes.
In about 20 years back, there used to be like 8 or 10 people completely, you know, involved in changing the cars, the tires and all of that in a Formula One car. Today, the pit stop is almost like 30-40 people, but there is an enormous amount of automation there. There are a lot more people doing a lot more complex stuff at a very shorter time, right? I thought it was a nice example of where, as you said, it's going to enrich people's job than take away more and more, right? That fear.
See, if you only depend on your touch and feel skills and ignore the advancement in the data that is being given to you, then you start becoming irrelevant.
So upskilling
upskilling. I would put it even this other way. Okay. All my career, the way I have been working is that beyond 24 months, if I'm doing the same thing, then I have not been successful.
Interesting.
And many a times I have even gone up to my leaders and I've openly told them that I will work myself out of my job. It might sound counterintuitive, and it might sound even, killing yourself. But effectively, when you work yourself out of the job, that means you are constantly looking at who else can do this job, what else can I do? But that is something that even when we look at potential leaders, when we look at high performers, when we are evaluating all those criteria, what do we look for? People who are willing to let go of what they are good at and learn something new.
Yeah, it's a very different perspective, especially in these times when everybody is trying to hold on to what they have, Moli. Like when we started to, our career, it was more of an outsourcing kind of a thing. We started with the whole 9/11 kind of an issue and all of that, right? But you also had another thing like Y2K coming in and all of that and all, right? So today, where do you see?
So I am a Y2K employee. Y2K. To me, even I would even go back and say P.V. Narasimha Rao, Manmohan Singh, liberalization of India is what created me and created my job. Because if when I was in college, if somebody had told me that you would be working for a multinational driving the India operation, I would have laughed at them. Okay.
Right.
Because there were no multinationals.
At the time,
all you had was the regular government license-based work that was happening.
Right.
Yes. Okay. And then liberalization happened. We opened our market out. People started coming in. Y2K happened. They needed bodies, more eyes to look at the code.
Hmm.
And so we became services. Okay. But we have continued to stay services. This is 2 decades after Y2K. Okay. When I look around, yes, today I'm happy that, you know, at least the top 8-10 of the unicorn startups are in India, but are they enough? When we have like 30-40 of our top service companies running out of India, why can't we have 20-30 of the product companies running out of India?
People who say that, you know, services industry is the foundation, they say, hey, we made a lot of innovations in the service side of things, right? I mean, nobody can deliver with all the innovations that we have delivered, with, you know, from a services side.
Our innovation has been on the services. See, wherever you focus is where you innovate.
Mm. True.
Okay. And today, I know the leading companies in India have branched out. They have their own startup wing that they have started. Hopefully, we would start seeing some products and enhancements coming out of their, you know, their factories. But to me, where do we kind of draw that line, and how much do we invest into discovering or manufacturing? And that again goes back to the other major point of saying that how much of the companies in India are investing into research and development and sponsoring a
grants,
say, for example, IISc, IITs, what is the grant that they are getting from the industry? If you look at US today, majority of the universities are so successful because of the grant that they get from the industry.
So, Mother, you said that, you know, you during your career, there have been 4 or 5 inflection points, so to say.
Yes.
There have been some major things like the pandemic, Y2K, or even 9/11, right? And all of those things that actually shook up the world. And then from that gave us opportunities to innovate and, you know, go on to a different, you know, different platform, right? How do you see this COVID situation, right, helping us, you know, jump to the next level of innovation? And, you know, what changes do you see coming up, and what kind of leadership changes have to come in so that somebody is leading that innovation and making use of this situation?
Yeah, and I'll just add, Modi, one example, right, that I have seen for this. I have not seen this pedal-based sanitizer dispenser, right? In any other countries which is suffering from COVID, right? Now, that's COVID. so ingenious to India that we, pretty much it's all over the place now, right? You just go, you know, don't, right? So how is this, how can we translate that to IT, right? Or technology?
Exactly. So don't look at IT as IT alone. To me, it is a product. Okay. If you are able to design a product, put the product out there, and you are able to manage and position it well. Okay. You have a market where you can sell. That is the trust that we need to have. When Paytm started their business, okay, we all felt the adoption would be bad. We all felt that, oh, it's only for the metros. Okay. Today, I mean, as you rightly said, I mean, I was cycling from Bangalore to Coimbatore. My entire journey, including every tender coconut vendor on the way, had a Paytm scan card. Okay.
Right.
The adoption in India, the ability for people to learn new things, ability for people to become more aware with the current happenings. Okay. Is so much more faster than the rest of the world.
True.
Okay? That is true.
If it is, you definitely know, useful.
And when you asked the interesting question, Srini, about the leadership and what COVID would do to us, I can tell you that, you know, people who were dead against remote working, people who were advocating that I need you to be under my nose so that I can monitor your productivity, are all now peddling an idea of saying that remote is great, our productivity has increased. Okay.
You've seen a few jokes going around on LinkedIn as well, right? They all have to change. Yeah.
they are changing now, but at the same time, when you look at it, okay, it creates another kind of problem, especially for leadership. Okay, and in my case, it's a very 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 interesting situation. Okay, where I have now started a new job in pandemic lockdown, and I have not met any of my teammates face to face.
That's tough.
I have to now still establish a personal connect, because what you and I know about each other is not from these meetings. What you and I know about each other is when we were actually at a water tap or at a lunch right. table or going out to a tea.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Now I have to learn, find a mechanism where I can have that conversation with every individual in the organization, so that I know them personally. I know they're professional. Okay. Because right. as leaders, it's not enough if you know your professional capabilities. You need to know what motivates the individual. You need to know what will actually give them the thrill of going above and beyond.
Somehow a phone call or a technology-based conversation makes it formal, right? That informal conversations are not there anymore.
It's a mindset. No, it's a mind. We have always been used to this. Okay, when you get on a phone conversation, basically even this conversation, if it was a regular three-way conference call, our conversation would have been very different.
Different, right?
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
Okay, so how do we as to me, the big challenge that I am being trying to learn new skills is to kind of find a way that I can still connect with an individual even though I am not physically present there.
And how
difficult
one do that,
has that been?
Yeah,
it is tough. It's a new skill. I mean, you are asking, you know, again, this is a famous example I give to everybody. Okay, as employees, we are nothing but the artist in a circus. Okay?
Right.
And we can't be playing the same drill over and over again. Otherwise, the audience will get bored and they'll never come back to see you. Okay,
right.
You need to have new tricks. You need to know how to do new things. So now is a great time for all of us to learn a new trick so that our circus still goes on.
Leads me to another question. Even in the IT, right, like when Karthik and I started out, we had a certain way of, you know, the career structure, right? So how do one plan a career when such transition like COVID and pandemics are going on, right? And, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Planning is afterthought in a lot of actions that we end up doing, okay? But what more happens is about how relevant are you in the current state? Because if you stay current, because that's been my way of thinking, is that if you are relevant the moment, okay, you are relevant as long as you are still valid, okay? If I were somebody who is still wanting to do coding, I were somebody who still wants to do development, I want to have complete control on every delivery that goes up. If I'm not willing to let go of what I am good at, I will never learn something new. And you have to create those new connections within yourself. You have to end up doing something different, and you have to know whether what you are doing is right or wrong. And that feedback, I would say that, you know, your immediate line manager has a great direction to play in what you become. Because I find that most of the people that I have worked with and I have reported to have crafted my career into what I am today. Okay.
Right.
They have kind of like given me the right feedback at the right time. They have said what is working, what is not working. And more importantly, you need to be also consistently looking out for saying that, am I making sense? Am I moving the needle? More importantly, you know, you need to always self-evaluate from last year to this year. Have I grown? And what is my growth measurement? Okay.
So anticipate, growth basically measurement. You're saying, anticipate what is coming and build that.
Difficult. Who could have anticipated COVID, Karthik?
I'm saying from a learning point of view.
Technology perspective. When you look at it from a technology perspective, okay, you know automation is happening. You know automation is the thing. Okay, And data analytics is another big area that you know is going to stay. But as you grow in your career, you will not probably be doing that day-to-day coding of many things that you want to do. What do you then want to do? You want to know the tools are available today. But as leaders, you need to have the ability to ask the question of saying, okay, what is my improvement trend?
So is there like a mental model there, Mauli? Like at certain junctures in your career, you have a mental model to say, okay, I'm at this fork of this career, you know, what is the rationale that drives you to take a point path A to path B or path C? Or is it just like, forget about it, we'll see the road, we'll travel the road and figure out what it is?
I'd be lying through my teeth if I say that, oh, I knew this is what I want to do, I knew this is where I will be. That will be like complete lie. Okay. Mm. I have been going with the flow. Maybe I've been at the right time for the right thing to happen. So it is not a plan. Maybe there was a subconscious plan, which I'm not able to articulate what I was looking for. What is that exact same thing? And I think we have spoken about this, Karthik. I mean, I was a development manager and leading the entire development scheme. And then I moved into support infrastructure and services within IT.
Okay? Right.
So when that shift happened, I didn't know that this is what is the goal that I would achieve. I felt, yes, there is a room for improvement. This is where the focus is in the local geo that I'm in. Let me focus and make the best out of it.
Okay. And in this journey, right, I'm sure you would have faced a lot of challenges or failures, so to speak, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how did you deal with those failures? And, you know, any interesting stories on the failures that you've dealt with and, you know, overcome?
The failures is, I would not call it as failures, I would call it as learnings, because if I'm not willing to take an additional step, I'm not willing to step into something I don't know what it is, then I'm not learning, I'm not growing, I'm not being current. I'm repeatedly doing the same thing. I only remember Charlie Chaplin tightening those nuts. If I'm not willing to do anything else, I have become Charlie Chaplin, yeah. A mechanical man. Okay. And yes, not everything that you try will work out. Not everything that you do will be successful. But again, success and failure by your own definition is very different from what people might be looking at. And that's something that I have learned.
Point, yeah.
Because if you are willing to learn something, you are willing to showcase that you are taking a risk. Maybe that's what somebody is trying to do. They will throw some new challenge at you. Mm. And you will succeed in it, and that will pave a way for another one. And
excellent.
Taking risk is something that you can never stop doing, because this is something that I tell everybody. If we were risk averse, we would never have started walking.
Yeah,
right.
It starts from there.
It's very, I mean, you think of it.
As a kid,
you end up doing so many risky things in your life. Okay. Today, when you think about it, you would say, like, what was I thinking when I did that?
Yeah.
But as you grow older, your appetite to take on new things, your inquisitiveness goes down. Okay.
Yeah.
And you are not curious enough to do new things. And that is something that I've always kept alive in me. I mean, I have never settled for what I know. I always want to do the next new thing. I always want to stay current.
You have a lot going on in your day, right? You have a lot of things going on. So how do you plan around it? Do you have a productivity tip, or how do you manage the stress on a day-to-day basis?
One follow-up to that before you answer that, Mauli, is in today's COVID world, working from home, it's very difficult to define boundaries, right? Previously, we had to get up and go to our office, or, you know, or get up from the office and come back home. But in today's world, your bedroom is the office, you know, and everything else, right? So how do you also manage that?
There is no end to your workday, and there is no start to your life, or right. Either way. Okay.
Right.
And you have to have that discipline of saying that this is where my work ends and this is where my life starts.
Mm.
Okay. And I go back to one basic principle that I follow in my life is, I am working to have a life. and not the other way around. Okay.
Great insight,
my job is to sustain my lifestyle, and my life is not to sustain my job.
Right.
That means life takes precedence over anything.
Yeah.
And there are movements, and especially if you look at COVID, I would say I look at COVID as a great, great opportunity. To me, this 120 days that I have actually been home continuously, I have known my family so much more better than what I would have done all these years.
Yeah.
Yes, we are on each other's throat. We are irritated with each other, only seeing each other. Okay. I mean, last week we had taken a week off to stay home. I mean, what nonsense was that? I was thinking, but then it was so very refreshing. It was so very refreshing to not do anything. I mean, if people in Tamil Nadu would relate to this, Vadivel in one of the movies says, "Doing nothing is the most difficult thing to do."
Correct.
Yeah.
Nice. So basically take some time out to do nothing on a daily basis.
Sometimes I feel, you know, so there are things that maybe COVID is helping you realize what you want to do with your life.
Super. So I think you're almost, Molly, on the top of the...
on time, yes. And especially for the working class and the especially new graduates who are coming out today.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to ask. So anything that they should be cognizant of?
I think the age of service is coming to an end. Age of innovation, the age of doing something is more important than serving something. I think if I were to tell people who are in their early careers, especially who are in their early careers and looking to branch into different things, put your mind to find things. Put your mind to, you know, when I graduated, it was more important that I remembered how the network topology should be. Okay. Today, when somebody graduates, they don't have to remember how the topology should be. They need to know what to ask.
Pretty interesting perspectives. That's why we wanted to let the others know about the perspective. So hopefully this is fun.
It was great talking to you. And, you know, hope you also liked this one hour, right? Sharing a perspective. So it's a new experience to us too. This is the first time we are doing something like this. So hopefully we'll learn and get better also. Right. So like you said, you need to we are the monkey learning the new tricks now.
Correct.
This is the new show in town, guys. This is a new show in town. Come and watch the new show.
Exactly. So, okay, Molly, thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Srini.
Have a great one and stay safe.